Welcome to the Lending Lowdown. I'm CJ Doherty, Director of Analysis at LSEG LPC. And today's episode is a notable one for us, as I'm delighted to say it's our 25th podcast in the series. And in this episode, we're going to cast a spotlight on CLO ETFs, as they're very topical in the CLO and loan market these days, given they're expanding the investor base for the CLO asset class. And we will also touch on the broader securitized market too. So to shed some light on these growing market segments, it's great to be joined by John Kirshner, Head of U.S. Securitized Products and Portfolio Manager at Janus Henderson Investors. Thanks for joining me, John.
Thanks, CJ. Pleasure to be here.
So, John, it's always good to start with a little bit of background information first. So before we dive into questions on the market, can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and Janus Henderson?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated business school from Duke University back in the mid-90s, and I joined a small money manager that was started by a professor at Duke by the name of Smith Breen & Associates. So started my investment management career then, was doing agency mortgages for a couple of years, and then was given the ABS / non-agency mortgage sector, kind of cut my teeth on and did that for several years. I was right in the midst of it, pre-GFC or global financial crisis, with the huge increase in the subprime mortgage market. And we know how that kind of turned out. I actually left that firm in late 2006 and joined a hedge fund that focused on commercial real estate globally through the GFC. That platform basically ended up not growing as much as I liked during the GFC. We did some distressed debt investing, so it worked out okay. But I wanted to really join a firm where I could build a team, build a platform, build a world-class securitized team. And that so happened to be Janus at the time, now Janus Henderson. And I joined them in 2010 to build out the team. And now we're a team of 9, soon to be 12 here in Denver, another 6 in London, about $35 billion in securitized assets. So the growth has been really nice over the last 14 years that I've been here.
Okay, great. Can you now talk about how the CLO ETF market has grown in the last couple of years? You know, what have been the drivers? And can you put some numbers around this growth for our listeners? And also, how does this growth compare to other credit ETF categories?
Yeah, sure. So we launched our first CLO ETF, JAAA or JAAA is the ticker, back in October of 2020, coming out of the COVID crisis. And then we launched our second CLO ETF, JBBB, in January of 2022. If you went back 2 years from now to about August of 2022, those two combined were only about $1.5 billion. So decent growth, but not nearly where we are today. If you went back a year ago, those two combined would be just under $4 billion. So in a year, we almost tripled in size from about 1.5 to 4. And we're sitting here today, those two ETFs are just under $13 billion. So almost another tripling, more or less, over the last year. Now, JAAA is much bigger. It's just under $12 billion. But JBBB now is over $1 billion. So really good growth. And we think, actually, that's going to continue. I think it's very interesting when you look at some of the other credit ETFs out there. If you look at like the leveraged loan ETFs, BKLN or SRLN are the two large ones, and you go back to 2020, they were about $5.5 billion combined. Today, they're almost $13 billion combined, so over 100% growth. Whereas the other credit ETFs, if you look at high yield like HYG, or JNK, two of the bigger high-yield ETFs, have actually shrunk over that time from 2020 till today by about 40%. Back then, they were about $37 billion. Today, they're about $24 billion. And then if you look at one of the big investment-grade ETFs, LQD, back in 2020, it was about $55 billion. And now it's about 32 and change billion. So both high yield corporate credit and investment grade corporate credit ETFs have actually shrunk about 40%. So the trend has been a lot more in ETFs, although starting from a very low base, obviously. More in leveraged loan ETFs, probably has something to do with their floating rate nature, like CLOs over the last couple of years. But other credit ETFs have actually shrunk. And I don't really have a great answer why those why there's been some shrinking in those other ETFs, besides the fact that maybe dollars are going into some of these newer ETFs.
Okay. Yeah, that's certainly impressive growth on the CLO ETF side. And following on from that, what is investor demand like for CLO AAA note ETFs compared to BBB ETFs?
Yeah, so it's a very different client base, I would say. The AAA, obviously, incredibly safe. Except for securitized markets, it's very difficult to find AAA-type credits. Even the U.S. is not really considered a AAA credit anymore. There's only two corporate credit names, Microsoft and Johnson & Johnson, that are AAA. So I think people have obviously been attracted to the floating rate nature and the high yield, but also the safety that comes with the AAA rating. JBBB, we launched, like I said, in January of 2022, 1 month before Russia invaded Ukraine. So a little inauspicious timing there, but obviously we didn't know that was going to happen. But I think what also was going on in 2022, as you recall and your listeners recall, a lot of economic forecasters were calling for a recession back then. And so it gave people some pause. I think we can convince people that BBB CLOs are very default remote, but obviously a recession would cause some volatility in any kind of credit or risk assets. And so people wanted to see that ETF grow and have a track record. But now what we're seeing, particularly in 2024, is more money coming into JBBB, not more than JAAA, but whereas before in JBBB, maybe we were bringing in 10 to 25 million a month. This year so far, we've been taking in more like 100 million a month. And I think that's because more people are convinced that the Fed is on the right side of what they're trying to do with the economy. Soft landing seems to be the base case for most investors. So JAAA is still much bigger, still growing faster, bigger investor base, simply because it's a simpler story with the high credit quality. But JBBB actually taking in a decent amount more and a lot more than we were taking in last year in 2023.
Okay, got it. And given the background that you've described so far, so what impact are CLO ETFs having on the CLO market overall? And also, in what way are they impacting the CLO secondary market?
Yeah, we've been getting this question a lot, CJ, because people say, wow, you've grown, you're almost 13 billion plus or minus. The CLO ETF combined market is about close to 15 billion. That seems like, a huge driver of growth and helping technicals and maybe driving spreads and prices, right? But I think people have to realize that the CLO market, the U.S. CLO market is $1 trillion. And then there's a European CLO market as well. That's another 250 billion. It's a massive market. You combine U.S. and European CLOs, they're almost as big as the high-yield corporate credit market here in the U.S. And if you think about who owns CLOs, particularly AAA CLOs, banks own about $200 billion. That's U.S. banks. Japanese banks own around another $80 billion. Money managers in the U.S. own somewhere around $250 billion. Insurance companies are big buyers. So when you start looking at these big buyers of the hundreds of billions, 15 billion of the ETF buy market, it's not nothing. It still matters, but it's not as huge as some of these other kind of traditional buyers. So I think we're moving the needle a little bit as the CLO ETF market is. We're obviously definitely helping the technicals, but we're not really the big 600-pound, you know, gorilla out there. That's still U.S. money center banks and the money manager community. And we have a long way to go as far as the ETF market to kind of compete with them as far as buying.
Okay. And now let's pivot a little bit, John. You have a number of securitized ETFs in your product suite aside from CLOs. Where are you seeing investor interest there?
Yeah, so actually our first securitized ETF launched back in 2018 was JMBS. Focuses mostly on agency mortgage-backed securities, but also a bucket of non-agency as well. The idea with that product was when we launched it, there was no actively managed mortgage-backed security ETF in the U.S., which was a huge surprise to me because I had been actively managing mortgage-backed securities in, you know, 40 Act funds since in the mid-90s, and I've never heard a good reasoning why agency mortgage-backed securities shouldn't be actively managed. It's a very liquid market, probably the second most liquid fixed income market in the world after U.S. Treasuries, but very inefficient because mortgages, given their prepayment risk and their cash flow variability, are fairly complicated. Take a lot of people and modeling and data. And so what we said is we can offer a product with the liquidity, transparency, tax advantage, and relatively low fee of the ETF market to the, you know, the masses, both institutional and retail. And now that product is about $4.5 billion. Given the success of that, like I mentioned, we launched JAAA in October 2020, JBBB in January of 2022. But our latest offering, and actually it's been our fastest growing out of the box securitized ETF, is JSI, or Janus Henderson Securitized Income. And the idea behind that is even with those three other ETFs, there's still a wide range of securitized products, basically asset-backed securities, commercial mortgage-backed securities, and focusing more on the non-agency mortgage-backed security market that weren't addressed in our other offerings. So we focus on those. We also have a small bucket of AAA CLOs and agency mortgages in that product. But the idea was this gives investors who don't necessarily want to be in a floating rate product access to a very, what we consider a very cheap market in securitized products. Still about 75% investment grade, so fairly high credit quality, and still fairly high yield at 7.5% yield. But you're accessing these securities that really aren't reflected in some of the big indices like the Bloomberg Barclays Aggregate Index. ABS and CMBS are only 2% approximately of that index. So it really allowed us to kind of broaden the universe for securitized products ETFs. And there's really no other product out there in ETF land that does the same thing at a scalable rate. So you have a specific product in JMBS if you want mortgage exposure, two products if you want CLO exposure, and now our latest product offering is about $350 million JSI, which gives you basically mostly investment grade, very high yielding access to the other parts of the securitized market, which combined are about $5 trillion total. So a very large market.
Okay. So in your opinion, how compelling is the U.S. securitized market compared to corporate credit these days?
Yeah, well, let me just preface my answer by saying I'm very biased. I had securitized products here in the U.S. and at Janus Henderson, but if you just look at the data, right, and one way people look at this is compare today's spreads with what we've seen historically. Like go back the last 10 years, right? Not necessarily just a year or 2 years or 5 years, but let's go back 10 years. You could go back to the GFC, 2008, 2009, if you want, it'd be the same thing. And what you see with securitized products is they're about the middle of that range. CLOs are a little tighter, which aren't, it's not really a surprise because CLOs have become a lot bigger and bought by more investors over the last 10 years. But even ABS and CMBS and agency mortgages around kind of the middle of the range spread rise. Versus corporate credit, whether IG or high yield, it's kind of the bottom decile of spreads or the tightest spreads we've seen over the last 10 years. And some of that has to do with the soft landing scenario that I outlined. But what really happened is since COVID happened and the Fed came out and supported the U.S. Treasury market and supported the agency mortgage market, but also supported the investment-grade corporate credit market and even offered to buy high-yield corporate ETFs, they did nothing, really. The Fed did nothing for the rest of the securitized market. And so securitized products has taken a long time since COVID happened to kind of recover. We had, 2021, which was huge issuance, and 2022 was bad technicals with more issuance, and money managers were getting withdrawals because interest rates were going up. And it really has only been in the last 6 to 8 months where the technicals have really turned and been positive for securitized products. And so the spreads have come in some, but not nearly as far as they have in corporate credit. So most people look at securitized products now and say, spreads are very attractive. And then one other important thing is most securitized products are issued at the short end of the yield curve between 1 and 5 years. And now that the yield curve is inverted, meaning the short end has higher yields than the long end, that makes the overall yields of securitized products look very attractive versus other fixed income. And that's why we can launch JSI, our newest ETF, and get that kind of 7.5% yield with still 75% investment grade and, basically 2 to 3 years of duration. So based on all those factors, we think securitized products are incredibly attractive right now.
Okay, John, so just to add on to what you said there, final question here. There is now an expectation in the U.S. of a shift in monetary policy. Is now the time to lock in some level of duration ahead of the Fed cutting rates?
Yeah, this is a difficult question because no one really knows where interest rates are going. I agree that the Fed is very likely to cut interest rates in their next meeting in September. The issue is that the markets are front running that, right? They're expecting that. So if you think about where the 10-year Treasury yield has gone, if you went back last October, it was at 5%. In April, it was at about 4.7%. Currently about 3.8%. So the long end of the yield curve has already rallied a lot in expectation of cuts. And what the market's telling you is like a three-month T-bill in the next 2 years is going to go from about 5.15% down to kind of the mid 3%, something like that. But the market is telling you the 10-year over that time will actually go up in yield a little bit. So that's the normalization of the yield curve. So what we tell investors is either have exposure to all the yield curve, like all parts of the yield curve, short, medium, and long, because if we do go into a hard landing, that long end will come down some more. But you don't want to take all your eggs out of the short end of the yield curve and put them in the long end, because that was the trade kind of for late 2023. And a lot of that trade has already played out. Keep some of your exposure to the short end of the yield curve. Again, why we like securitized products right now.
Great. And with that, we will wrap up for today. John, thanks very much for shedding light on CLO ETFs and the broader securitized market.
Thanks, CJ. I really enjoyed it.
And thank you all for tuning in. I invite you to check out our CLO and loan market news, data, and analysis at loanconnector.com. Follow us on X at LPC Loans. I'm CJ Doherty. Subscribe to the Lending Lowdown on your favorite podcast platform.
When you contribute your fixed income deals to LSEG, they'll reach over 500,000 buy and sell side professionals around the world and be included in our industry-leading league table rankings. To ensure we're capturing your entire deal flow, visit contribute.lseg.com/FI signup or contact our team at contribute@lseg.com. Make your deal count.